Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast. And what's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome to the LA Football Show here on the LA Football Network. We are live on YouTube, on the website, lafnetwork.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, doing a new thing here, the Madman and I. Every Monday night, we'll be live 6 to 8. This is obviously Rams edition, so we'll do Rams live 6 to 6:30. We'll do Chargers 6:30 to 7, Trojans 7 to 7:30, and Bruins 7:30 to 8. So all four teams, 2 hours of programming. I'm excited, my man, to actually kind of have some fun, do this. Well, we always have fun, but do it live. Hopefully get some fans in here engaging, interacting, sending questions, and just taking this show to the next level and adding some consistency on Mondays. And hey, if things go well, maybe we'll add that second day in live, but we'll start here every Monday, 6 to 8 moving forward. So thank you all for tuning in. But Madman, what's up, brother? How we doing?
Doing well, Rye. Excited to be kicking off our live edition here. You know, you and I are always one take. We're always live with all of our analyses and our interactions. So, you know, why not get some credit for it and get that red button on and have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. I need to get one of those on-air things behind me. But yeah, for those who don't know, whenever we record, we literally hit record. We prep we do a lot of prep throughout the week, obviously, planning and doing outlining and stuff like that. But once we hit record, we just jump in and just go. So there's not a lot of editing afterwards or deleting. So this is not a huge change, but excited to do it every week, which we did live throughout the season a decent amount after games. Jamal, which is always fun getting the fan reaction, but hopefully as we do this consistently, Rams fans, you'll join us every Monday at 6 and bring your thoughts and we'll see when the season comes, how that schedule works out. But this is hopefully for the long term. So, happy to be here. Show is always brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Make sure to head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code Believe. That's BLEAV gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So if you have not yet been to Bet Online, sign up today. Put in $50. You're going to get $25 free to play with. Still got the final four in March Madness. You got the draft coming up. MLB's starting. Obviously, the NBA and NHL playoffs just around the corner. So plenty of fun stuff to bet on. BetOnline.ag, promo code Believe. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. So, Jamal, we talked last week kind of about the Rams offseason. I mean, we've kind of, I feel like, beat a dead horse. Everyone out there, Rams content creators in general, are just kind of really beating this down of this Rams offseason, of this remodel, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. And now Kevin Demoff, Mr. COO, has jumped into the equation. I'll try to pull up the transcript here that we can share while you're kind of talking, but basically gave his thoughts, or not really gave his thoughts, but gave a very poignant written note to season ticket holders about what this offseason has been so far, the reasoning behind it, and their plan for the future. So I'll try to pull that up, but your thoughts overall, because I know you obviously have read it, on what Mr. Demoff had to say.
Yeah, Ryan, and I think Demoff really laid out the strategy to the season ticket holders in a way that was very consistent with our thinking the last several weeks, where he said, look, in order to minimize rebuild time and be able to sort of do this on the fly and be seamless, there's really no point in eating salary cap year over year. You know, if you try and eat 10, 15 million a year for 3, 4, 5 years, that's a recipe for disaster. The better way to go about it is eat your entire cap number in 1 year and then be, sort of under the cap and be a buyer and a player in the market in 2024. And that's exactly what he laid out. He said, look, we're going to build around Stafford, Kupp, Donald. He highlighted some younger players, Kobe Durant. He highlighted Cam Akers, surprisingly enough. And said, look, that's going to be our core. We're going to eat all of the cap, but then we're going to be $60 million under the cap next year. And with those core three, really refurbish around them to be at the top of the chain. But, oh, by the way, 2023 is no rebuild in any way, shape, or form. We expect to contend for the NFC West title. We expect to go deep into the playoffs. And when you look at the state of the NFC, particularly at the quarterback position, you know the Rams are set up for success. I think if they can at least draft well, hit on their draft picks for the offensive line in particular, and then get a couple front seven guys in addition to that, this is going to be a young, hungry, under-the-radar type of team, and under the stewardship of Sean McVay and with the three pillars in Stafford, Kupp, and Donald, can make a serious run in 23 and then build upon that, find out who their great players, young players are, great young players, and then from there say, we've got $60 million under the cap. Let's go get four or five big-time players to retool around these three guys and be right at the top of the heap once again in terms of star-studded roster. So I think there's tremendous strategic clarity in what they're doing. And obviously you want to be in a position where you want to spend on every player every year. That's just not the reality of how the salary cap is set up. Given those constraints, I think the Rams are playing this really beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal, I mean, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I guess a little bit. I mean, we've kind of been saying this now for even before the offseason officially started, kind of expectation, especially when the rumors started swirling about Jalen Ramsey getting traded, about moving on from, you know, Leonard Floyd, and which we predicted that earlier too. And once the Wagner move happened, you know, a few weeks prior to the new season beginning, it kind of put the wheels in motion for this to happen. And now Demoff is just basically saying what we've been saying, and the fact that, look, and he says it right here in this paragraph, I think I have right in the middle here. So is that we could, if we wanted to, as you were kind of alluding to, we could restructure all the contracts we have right now to kick them down the can one more time and have one more true shot at a Super Bowl with this core, or not even this core, with this entire collection, because the core, obviously, as you mentioned, is Kupp, Donald, and Stafford, as I've alluded to, but with Ramsey, with Floyd, with Wagner, and kind of have this last year until really the checks have to clear in 2024. And then they, if it didn't work out, you may be in a real bad spot for 3, 4, 5 years. Whereas they saw this as a, hey, seeing as what the NFC looks like, which I still, Jamal, truly believe this team can be competitive with this roster, even with the defense having literally no one but Donald, Ernest Jones, and Jordan Fuller, essentially. I still think they can actually be competitive just because of what the NFC is. So seeing that, and then seeing now, even if we have a somewhat down year, a 7-win year, an 8-win year, and, you know, we don't accomplish the goal of a Super Bowl this year, we're set up beautifully for 2024 and beyond because of allowing us to do this, you know, kind of remodel and so. Everything we've been saying, he just kind of, you know, lays it out from him and not just us speculating. And so, you know, it's nice when the chief officer kind of basically totally concludes what we've been saying. So that's always nice, right?
No doubt, Ryan. And I think that, again, I think it's just tremendous strategic clarity here. And moving forward, I think, you know, he alludes to it, but I mean, Wagner, Floyd, Ramsey, these guys were all on the other side of their primes. And so it just didn't make any sense to even defer those costs, you know, further out and have to sort of compromise your 2024. It really made no sense whatsoever. And I think that the Rams are going to be flying under the radar for the first time in a number of years as an underdog. I believe Vegas came out and had them at 7.5 wins for this year at this particular stage, which is a very low number. Considering where they've been the last several years. I mean, above where they were last year, but, you know, that was more an anomaly than anything else. And so I think them taking on this underdog mantra, and I think the guys are kind of loose a little bit too. I mean, if Cooper Kupp's tweet was any indication yesterday with Wagner leaving, and he kind of went, well, you know, an exclamation mark, but he had some fun with it. And so I think that they're really sort of salivating in this role now of underdogs, especially I think there's questions about Aaron Donald and whether or not his best football is behind him, and does he physically have enough to be the Aaron Donald of old. I think there's questions about Cooper Kupp, and after a significant injury, is he ever going to get back to that level that he had now 2 years ago in the Super Bowl year? And now there's questions about Stafford, of 4 career playoff wins, all 4 of those wins came in 1 year. And so is he a guy that is more capable than being kind of a 1 year wonder? So I think all 3 of those guys kind of come in with expectations and a chip on their shoulder as well. And then you're going to sort of build around with the draft, with younger players, with cheaper players, all of whom are going to have collective chips on their shoulder to sign long-term deals and prove that they're mainstays in the National Football League. And then you've got a coach who's also kind of fighting his own narrative of burnout and potentially having his best coaching years behind him. And so all of these guys come in with so much to prove. I just love where they are. And I think them taking on this underdog mantra for the first time, really since they've come to LA after the first Jeff Fisher year, I think is something that's going to be fresh. It's going to be new. And I think it's going to invigorate them. And I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm honestly so excited for this season. I think a lot of Rams fans, and we're not even, I wouldn't even, when you look at other Rams podcasts and content creators, I wouldn't say we're like the hype fanboys by any means. We're probably the most critical, but I just think this is a very different place and position that they're in. And we can totally understand and see where they're coming from. And Jamal, as you know, I always like to compare to either other teams or other situations, because I think a lot of people get so nearsighted and just looking at their team and they don't see how what's going on around the league or how historically things have come to fruition. But this has very similar vibes to the Cincinnati Bengals organization. In 2020, the Bengals went 4-11-1. 4-11-1 in 2020, last place in their division. 2021 begins. Their coach on the hot seat. They start off kind of like up and down. There's talks of him getting fired mid-season. Obviously, they go on a run. They make a Super Bowl. They end up losing to the Rams in that Super Bowl. And now they're kind of a perennial favorite in the AFC. And they've done very good in how they've drafted. Obviously, Joe Burrow is all worldly. They've kind of built that defense, but the defense was not strong in 2020. And this slowly got better as 2021 went on. So I'm not saying these rosters were constructed the exact same by any means, but the Bengals went into 2021 with very low expectations. Again, coach about to get fired. All they knew was they had a good quarterback and they had Ja'Marr Chase. That was literally it, right? The offensive line was a mess. The defense couldn't stop anyone. They were a bottom tier defense in 2020. And then they really turned it on the head without that pressure. And they kind of bought into what coach was saying. And obviously Joe Burrow was a big reason of that. The running game got going with Joe Mixon and whatnot and Zach Pirine. So they're able to do some good things. And I think they played college together, Mixon and Pirine, but with Mixon and company. And so I think the Rams kind of have that similar vibe right now where they had all this pressure, as you mentioned last year, obviously didn't live up to it, more so because of just crazy injuries, but everything you alluded to in terms of burnout and that one. And now they can go into this year loose and say, hey, if we only win 5, 6, 7 games, like we're building for the next year, but we could surprise some people here because we still have our cores. We still have our pillars. We got a lot of young, hungry guys that are trying to prove themselves. And let's just go out and ball and have some fun. And Sean McVay can get back to the drawing board and doing what he does best. And I don't know. I'm honestly just so excited for the way this draft is going to go. The rest of this offseason is going to go and kind of what 2022 can be for 2023. What are we in right now? 2023? Said so many years in that little monologue that I'm all confused now. But I'm just excited for the future of this team.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. And if you recall, I mean, you alluded to this. We're certainly not the Rams fanboys by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I was very vocal in what last year was. I mean, I unequivocally said that last year was going to be a disaster, and it was. I mean, I was very unhappy with how the offseason played out with Vaughn and you know, with Wagner and Woods and Allen Robinson. And, you know, if you recall, I mean, opening night, we talked about after that Bills game, I was like, I mean, there's no talent on this team. The season's over. I mean, this is not a credible title defense by any way, shape or form. So you and I think kept it pretty real last year in terms of where this was. And I think, you know, success sometimes blinds you. Sometimes it makes you a little lazy. Sometimes it takes you off your game because, you know, you've done everything right. And so you can just sort of rely on that and rely on everything that you do is correct when, you know, you have to put in that due diligence. You have to have that discipline with every decision and every move you make. And I think the Rams are now going back to that. You know, I think they got a little lazy with just the magic that happened in 21 and it sort of carried over. Oh, we don't need Von Miller. Oh, you know, Allen Robinson can just, you know, we'll just plug him in. Oh, you know, Wagner is someone, even though he doesn't really fit, but, you know, we'll get him in there and we'll figure it out and the culture and all of those things. I mean, these were just bad moves. And I think now they realize that. And to their credit, they reverted. And, you know, we've talked about this all the time. The great investors, the great business people don't just see things that aren't there and don't just see the upside, but they know how to close and kill their downside investments immediately. They know how to cut their losses immediately. And that's really what separates, you know, the good from the great. And I, to the Rams' credit, they have cut their losses immediately. They've kind of gone back to a place of clarity where they've been in years past. And I think we're going to see the benefits and how it shakes out in 23. Let's see. I think so much of it is going to come down to the health of these three guys, the three pillars. And then so much of it is going to come down to them being able to hit in the draft on the offensive line. And so depending on how well they do, yeah, this is anywhere from a 7-win to even a 10-win team, I could see, if all things fall right. And, you know, once you're in the dance, anything can kind of happen. So I think they're, you know, what a luxury it is to be able to say, hey, we're kind of rebuilding with a team that's going to go between 7 and 10 games in the win column, threaten for the division, make a deep run, and then we're going to be significant buyers in 24 with all $60 million in the cap and see where we are there. So I think Rams fans should be absolutely thrilled, truthfully, as to where this team is, because they're going to that next cycle. Look, it worked. Mm-hmm. The experiment worked. They won the chip in year one. And it was one of those things where they had a 3-year window. And when you win it in year one, it gives you so many options and knobs to turn, because you win it in year one, you defend in year two, and then year three, you make that decision. Do we want to re-up again, or do we want to start the cycle 1 year early to get to the next wave of the championship era? And that's exactly what they're doing. So the Rams are a year ahead of schedule with a ring at their backs. And who can really say that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Let me ask you this, since we're on the topic of wins, and then I have one more question for agency, and then we'll probably get close to wrapping this up, 30 minutes of Rams talk on a Monday. So just came out futures in Vegas, future win totals, and the Rams are set at 7.5. So based on everything you've said, I've said, we've been talking about, you taking the over or the under 7.5 wins for the Rams in 2023?
I'm taking the over. I think it's going to be, I could see, you know, obviously we got to see kind of schedule and how the draft plays out, but I think this is a team that's going to be a 9-8 football team. I think this is a team that's going to flirt with being above 500. And I think when you look at the state of the NFC West, where are the Cardinals? Where is Seattle? Where are the Niners? I mean, none of those three teams have a quarterback. You know, I think you and I could go try out for one of those three teams and see what happens. Let's roll the dice. I mean, God bless Geno Smith. I know he got paid, but I don't know if I see an encore there by any stretch of the imagination. And with Kyler Murray and his injury history and just where his head is at, and then obviously with the Niners, I mean, you know, who knows who their quarterback's going to be at this stage. I mean, they're on their 11th guy, it seems like, in the last 3 months. So I think 9-8 is going to give you all that you need to be playing for this division up until the very end, playing for a playoff spot up until the very end. And then if you get in, look, we've seen it. We saw it with the Niners 2 years ago. We've seen it with teams that get hot and make a run. Anything can happen once you're in the dance. So I like this team to be 9-8.
Yeah, I like the over too, for everything you just said. Really excited to see how they draft with the, you know, the 11 picks and what they add. And obviously they have to add. There's a lot of, I mean, they don't even have enough players to field a full 53-man roster at this point. So obviously it will be interesting to see what they do. You know, the offensive line, we've talked about it, I think is better than advertised if healthy, you know, just based on who they have, especially if they shuffle guys and move Nopum inside and start Alaric Jacket left tackle. You know, if their biggest, and I joked about this on Twitter, but I feel like when they play the Niners, they should just rest Stafford. I mean, the Niners obviously are just loaded on defensive line, adding yet another free agent to that list. And I'm not scared about really the quarterback necessarily on the Niners, but I'm more scared for Stafford's health. So maybe just whatever. Let's put the McVay, Shanahan thing, regular season thing. Who cares? Does it really matter? Let's just rest Stafford. We'll see our rookie that we draft get some playing time out there. And maybe we chalk those two up as a loss, but then we can really formulate other wins. Because I agree. I think 9-8 is a very, very strong case that at minimum, I think 8 wins, which puts you over that 7.5. marking for that. So
I like that. The one thing I'll say about, you know, they don't have enough to field a team right now. You know, I think that's a little overblown. Obviously, you got the draft, you got free agency, and we're also living in an era where the Eagles came into the Super Bowl as the number one defense in football and gave up 38 points. You know, yep. So, I mean, this is just sort of the era that we're in. And obviously the deficiencies are more on the defensive side of the ball, but average is the new great on defense in the NFL. And so, you know, you're going to get guys on the cheap. You're going to get guys who are hungry. You're going to get guys who are young. You're going to get guys who are athletic. And frankly, that's 80% of the way there to begin with. And because in the world that we live in where, you know, being a great defense is giving up, you know, under 30 in a big game against one of these elite guys, you know, you're fine. If you just got to, I trust Les Snead. I trust the management. I trust McVay's eye in terms of that eye for talent. They alluded to it. Obviously 11 picks. They got three in the top 77. They'll make the right calls. They'll fill out their roster. I'm not really worried about that. I'm assuming this is going to be a filled out roster with serviceable guys. And then you got, you know, your three pillars there. And I'm also excited to see Aaron Donald in a leadership role, even more so, you know, and I think that was kind of the one piece. I think he really salivated in that role, particularly in the playoffs in 2021 and, you know, just sort of inspiring the team to win it and especially those last few games. And so now he is the unquestioned, not just best player on the team, best player on the defense, best player, you know, of his generation defensively, but now he's the unquestioned leader on defense. He is the biggest voice on defense. And I think he's going to be really excited about that and lead by example. So I think there's a lot of guys with a lot to prove and, you know, it's going to be a really fun year to be a Rams fan.
So to my knowledge, correct me, Jamal, if I'm wrong, but on the transaction wire so far, it's been a Coleman Shelton re-signing and a Marquise Copeland re-signing. And I believe that is it. Yep. So question for you, where they sit right now, do you anticipate any more re-signings? Are we looking at this is the roster going into the draft?
Yeah, I think this is the roster going into the draft. I don't think they're going to do any more re-signings. I think they're going to play. They're playing Moneyball this year, but I think they're going to play it really well. And I think that unless they find something with some outsized value, I don't see it happening. I think they know what they have, and I think that they understand where the market resides value-wise and where they can kind of get more value in the draft. Because at the end of the day, once you get out of that second round, in particular, and it's third round onwards all the way to free agency, you're getting guys on the cheap. I mean, if you hit the value prop just goes through the roof because they will outproduce their contracts significantly, you know, threefold, fivefold, sevenfold. So that's where the Rams are playing. Obviously, you know, with three picks in the top 77, that means you have eight picks outside the top 77, which is where you're really going to be making the noise in terms of the value. And so I think that this is what they're going to go with going into the draft. And look, I mean, 11 picks is that's a whole side of the ball. I mean, think about that for a second. So they've got plenty. And then when you combine free agency, there's going to be a lot of guys coming in the door that I think are going to outsize their contracts for 23.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, as we kind of get to the end here, if there's any questions, siphon them in, guys. But Bobby Wagner resigns with the Seahawks. Did that shock you at all? I mean, I feel like it was basically expected almost once the Rams released him. It was like, all right, he's just going to go back to Seattle. But did that surprise you at all, Jamal?
A little bit, I think, because it was an interesting divorce. And the Seahawks sort of have had these very famous divorces, right? I mean, between Russell Wilson, between Wagner, between, you know, Earl Thomas flipping the bird in Arizona. So they've had such these bizarre divorces that, you know, you wondered if there was, you know, too much bad blood or the relationship had fractured too much. But it sounded like Schneider and Carroll had talked to Wagner immediately after. And then you kind of got the sense this was going to happen. And I'm happy for him. I mean, he's a Seahawk. He's going to retire a Seahawk. His jersey is going to be retired as a Seahawk. You know, the 1 year Rams experiment was just that. It was an experiment, and sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. But I'm really happy for him that he gets to end his career where it's supposed to be, where he's happiest. And I think it's going to be fun to see him in a Seahawks uniform again in these two divisional games.
Has that, can you think of it? Has that ever happened where, I'm sure it's happened for a player, but for a Hall of Famer to leave their known team, go somewhere else for a year, two, 3 years, and then go back to their original team and play out the rest of their career. Can you remember that ever happening? Like, imagine if Joe Montana plays 2 years for the Chiefs, goes back. And I'm not saying like signs a one day contract. I'm saying like goes back and plays 2 to 3 to 4 more years. Can you think of that? I can't think of that ever happening before.
No, I can't either. Not this side of LeBron. So, you know,
true that.
Not this side of LeBron. I can't think of it.
Oh, okay. Is LeBron going back to Cleveland? Is that going to happen? Well, that, I guess Cleveland's not, they're actually decent. So I guess they probably won't have a pick to take Bronny.
Oh, man. You take Bronny, then LeBron's going to come.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, anything else newsworthy to touch on here? We got a few more minutes before we wrap up this Monday Live Rams talk here on the LA Football Show. Anything else you wanted to touch on?
Well, Ryan, I'm also excited about who the Rams, I think, are going to either pick in the draft late or in free agency, who's the backup quarterback. You know, I think that's also going to be, I think, an area of need there, in particular with, you know, Stafford's health and his durability. It feels like there's going to be a spot start or two or three, you know, in the upcoming season that a backup quarterback is going to have to make. And so I think the Wolford Perkins experiment, I think, has run its course. I think it's time for the Rams to also get a backup quarterback. Obviously, need one is offensive line. Need two is kind of front seven help. But I think as a tertiary need, I'm excited to see who they bring in as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, did you see that? I think it was Rams Wire, our buddy Cam DeSilva wrote it. Did like a mock draft and had the Rams trading up into the first round to get Will Levis. Is that, would you do that? Or is that like, I mean, I wouldn't do that, but would you do that? Or you think they just stay pat and get a guy in the mid rounds?
I think they stay pat and get a guy. I don't know if Will Levis is the can't miss guy that you're going to give up those assets for, because if you're going to be bad, then be bad in 23 and go get Caleb. You know, Will Levis is sort of this weird hedge that doesn't solve anything.
Yeah. It has kind of, I haven't watched enough tape, so this is not a comparison for anyone out there watching, but it has kind of that Paxton Lynch vibe where it's just like big arm, big body. Not that Kentucky's a small school by any means, but like not one of the blue blood football schools necessarily. So it has kind of similar to that where, you know, the Broncos traded up and obviously that didn't work out. I'm not saying Will Levis won't work out, but moving up from 36 to where you'd have to move, I don't know. That'd be interesting. But yeah, it will be very interesting to see who they do take, because I think certainly – this is a, especially since they haven't signed anyone currently, don't have a backup quarterback on the roster, as you alluded to. I don't know if they will sign any other free agents, period, let alone quarterback. So they're going to have to draft one, and I'm sure they'll sign an undrafted guy, which is who their two backups were for the last 2 to 3 seasons anyway, which might be the path they go. But it'll be fascinating to see who they take, and a lot of fun. And whether that guy, I'm not saying challenges Matthew Stafford by any means this year, but whether that's a guy that, hey, moving forward, surprises and shocks some, or just a solid young backup when they look to the future of replacing Stafford down the line, it should be interesting. So, well, Jamal, unless you have anything else to add, I think that does it for our Rams Live show on a Monday. What do you think?
Sounds great. I love it. Excited to do this every Monday.
Absolutely. Thank you all for tuning in. This is the LA Football Show. Ryan Dyer, Jamal Madney. We'll be back later in the week with our just normal podcast, as always. So make sure to look out for that. And then we'll be live again next Monday. So everyone, take care. Talk to you all here soon.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.